Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. We'll be looking at the entire chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Before we start reading there, and you don't need to turn to this, I'll just read it to you, and it's in your notes. Romans 1, 29-32 says, "They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them." We see these same things today in the world that we live in. We only need to look around us to see that the human race is not getting better, as some say it will, even Christians say or predict. And today the push is for absolutely no restrictions. And anyone who stands up to say something or someone is wrong is quickly shamed for daring to judge another or their actions. If somebody wants to do something and you say they're wrong, you are the one who is wrong. And we can literally once a week, if not more often, hear of someone or some group that proudly announces their sin as their right, and anyone who disagrees with them is discriminating against them. So no restrictions. It really is the era that we live in. And I think people realize that, and they're doing many things today. They're getting the understanding that, hey, I can do what I want, and if somebody disagrees with me, I can call them a bigot or a racist or what have you. But as a result, we as a society are quickly moving to a place where only a few separate right from wrong. And as we just read in Romans chapter 1, they invent ways of doing evil. Mankind continues down its path of depravity and sinfulness. Yet the church is still responsible to carry on the work that has been called to by God, which is to shine the light of the gospel and to build up the body of believers. Too many believers have decided that the Bible is no longer up to the challenge to show us how to carry out that work. We have new ideas now, new ideas on how to be effective in our modern era. And movements such as seeker-sensitive ministries have developed. A push for tolerance and acceptance is viewed as the wiser alternative. And other ideas, much to Satan's delight. The more sinful the world becomes and the weaker the church becomes, the more the church moves away from Scripture to try to fix the problems. It's as if to say God wasn't really prepared for how bad things were going to be in our day and age. If we truly want to be effective in this sinful world in which we live, we need to be driven to Scripture. Not away from it. Not, as many people would say today, well, the Bible doesn't really have the answers on how to have effective ministry in this sinful world. So that's where we came up with more tolerance. We don't want to offend the unbeliever will never have any effectiveness. Scripture says something totally different. So this morning, we're going to look at this. The believer must rely upon God's Word to be spiritually effective in terrible times. So that takes us to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And very beginning there, Paul writes to Timothy, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." The Word of God has the answers for all of life's questions and problems. And if we can't be effective in this world, it's because we don't know the Word. It is not to be abandoned when sin is more prevalent. It is to be sought out more. That is God's Word. This is the message that Paul gave to Timothy, and it's the one that the church needs to hear today. So I entitled this message, "Driven to the Word." And I will ask you, are you driven to God's Word as you seek to have ministry in a sinful world? Or are we, like many in the church today, saying, well, we need to do something different, because we'll never be able to reach the lost in this sinful world if we just do what the Word of God says. Sounds terrible to say, doesn't it? But many people believe it. Many Christians believe it, and they show it by what they do. Well, here's the first point that we'll look at. God's Word teaches us to be separate from the world. And often the response you'll get to that is, if you're separate from the world, not rubbing elbows with them, then how are you going to reach them for Christ? But let's take a look at this, and we'll start to understand why it's so very important. So the terrible times that Paul speaks of in the last days in this passage has everything to do with the people that inhabit the earth at that time. As we'll see, he's speaking to a time that he anticipates Timothy enduring, so it must be that he's referring to a time before the Lord removes the church from the earth. So we're not talking about a 70th week of Daniel's situation here. He's preparing Timothy for ministry that he's going to endure. And Paul believed that the return of the Lord was never far off. And that's the right attitude that we should have, that every believer should have. And with his exit from the earth coming soon, he wanted to ensure that Timothy was forewarned about the last days. But you do see in these first few verses, verse 2, Paul said, people will be lovers of themselves, etc. Perhaps he had in mind in the very near future. Regardless, the people of that time will live with the idea that they themselves are the most important of anyone alive. And Paul's list of their characteristics makes this clear. So let's look at this list, and I'd like to look at it in some detail. So he says in verse 2, people will be lovers of themselves. And I know this is the first part of this list, but it really could be the title of the list, because everything that follows this talks about how people love themselves. So, first, lovers of themselves. And unfortunately, some Christians think that they must love themselves before they can love others. That's the world's counsel, and the church has unfortunately taken it and teaches it to this day. So they will be lovers of themselves. They will be lovers of money. They love money to spend it on their most valued person, themselves, because they love themselves. Boastful. They are their favorite person. They love to talk about themselves. Proud. Proud of all that they do, especially their sin. And this is certainly the day and age that we live in now. Proud of their sin. And that word pride and proud is actually a banner or a statement or a call word for certain groups today. Homosexuals, gay pride. Being proud of who they are. Being proud of that sin. Abusive. Since they are the most important, they see nothing wrong with hurting others who are inferior to them in their eyes. Disobedient to their parents. Even disrespect their own parents. Again, no one is as important as they are, because they love themselves. They are in love with themselves. So it doesn't matter who they are disrespectful to or just disobedient to. Ungrateful. Why should they express thanks when they are deserving of all they get? Unholy. No regard for righteousness, as this would interfere with self-indulgence. Without love. Except for themselves, of course. But to love would mean to sacrifice. Not in their vocabulary. Unforgiving. If anyone dare offend them, they would not deserve to be forgiven. Slanderous. Lies about others are never out of bounds. The damage they cause does not concern them. Without self-control. To those who feel they deserve anything they want, why control yourself? Again, that goes back to no restrictions. I should not be restricted in any way what I want. Brutal, not just mean. Beyond that, over the top. Not lovers of good. They're hostile to any type of virtue. Treacherous. And this word actually means to be a betrayer. Their loyalty is only to themselves. Rash. Falling headlong into situations without caring who they affect or hurt. Conceited. You can see proud for that. Very much the same thing. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And what we've just looked at bears this out very clearly. A form of godliness, but denying its power. Titus 1:16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. And I think it's important to look at this list and to think about it and go through it with a little bit of detail, which is what I hope I just did there, to understand that these are the people that Paul tells Timothy to have nothing to do with. So in this, it is this group of people that Paul tells him have nothing to do with them, the end of verse 5. Have nothing to do with them. In other words, separate from yourself from those who are characterized by these things. And while Paul encourages evangelism to this type of people, this group of people, these people who live like this, have nothing to do with them. Having nothing to do with them must be understood as being accepted or tolerant of their lifestyles, enjoying their company, etc. Now remember, we're talking about how can we be effective in a sinful world. And hopefully that is our desire. And Paul is telling Timothy that you need to separate yourselves from these people. And we really need to look at our lives to see if this is something that we are doing, or if we're accepting of them. We need to understand that a sinful lifestyle that the unbeliever lives, it is not acceptable to God. It is not something that should be acceptable to us. It is, our lives should never be giving a message to an unbeliever that the way you live and how you act is okay with me. This should be something that's very important to us, as it is to Paul, as he tells Timothy, separate yourself from them. Scripture teaches us to separate ourselves from this life. If we don't, we will be ineffective in spiritual ministry to a crowd that doesn't see much of a difference from themselves. So if we're rubbing shoulders and elbows with unbelievers who live like this, and we never say anything, or we never separate ourselves, what else would they think but to think that it must be okay with who I am and how I live? The believer must rely upon God's Word to be spiritually effective in terrible times. God's Word tells us to separate ourselves from these people, to live differently. Evangelism, yes. Trying to have an effect on their lives with the truth of the gospel? Absolutely. But beyond that, there must be a biblical separation. Well, one way that we will be different and separate from the world is if we rely upon God's Word, is that we will have wisdom that the world does not understand. So secondly, God's Word makes us wise. Again, driven to the world in terrible times and last days, and in a world that in our day and age continues to spiral downward, are we going to the Word of God to be effective? Or is our attitude towards the Word of God something that is lackadaisical? I hope not. So secondly, God's Word makes us wise. Let's look at verse 6 as we start here. These people that we just talked about, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. So still speaking to the same group, Paul tells Timothy that these are the kind of people who take advantage of weak-willed women. And he further describes these women as loaded down with sin and swayed by all kinds of evil desires. In other words, no self-control. These women are always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. We read about this very similar in 1 Corinthians I have here in your notes. So let's just read that. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I'm going to stop there for just a moment, because this really, spiritually, there is a separation in understanding what truth is in the world that we live. And for us to think that we can have the acceptance of the world, or to desire it, and to think that we can operate in the spiritual realm that we should be in, and it just doesn't fit. You have wisdom and you have foolishness, and they don't fit. So, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. As this passage indicates to us, the world is very wise in its own eyes and ridicules the men and women who rely on the Word of God for wisdom. The world is ever learning but cannot grasp the truth. Janus and Jambres are thought to likely have been Pharaoh's magicians who opposed Moses in Egypt, and are examples of the men that Paul is speaking about now in this passage. They have depraved minds and have been rejected by God. Their foolishness will be apparent to everyone eventually, just like Janus and Jambres. So Christians need to start relying upon the Word of God for wisdom. Do you and I do that? Do we think that we can have any type of effect in this world by not relying upon the Word of God? And unfortunately, many Christians want to combine the world's wisdom with Scripture so that they can be seen as wise in the world's eyes. And Paul is trying to convince Timothy that this is going to be a temptation, I think, and that he needs to stand strong, separate himself, and always go to Scripture. To rely upon Scripture means that we have the confidence, that we have the truth that makes us effective in other people's lives, and that we do not need the wisdom of the world. We'll look at verse 15 in a moment, but if the Scriptures make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, then we should be confident that it will more than suffice for every need we may have. The believer must rely upon God's Word to be spiritually effective terrible times. So let's ask ourselves again, what is my attitude towards God's Word? There's many benefits for it, of course, our own spiritual growth, our relationship and closeness with God. But if we desire to have effective ministry in our day and age, we need to be driven to the Word of God. But we should never wonder if we will be in a battle as Christians, only when. When will the battles take place? Well, we can be victorious in these battles if we operate as God tells us to. So our third point, God's Word prepares us for battle. And Paul knew a lot about spiritual battle. He faced persecution on a regular basis. Verse 10, he says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, this particular passage does not tell us how to prepare for spiritual battles. There are other passages that do that, such as Ephesians chapter 6. This passage does, however, prepare us for the battles by letting us know that they will happen. So Paul reminds Timothy first about his teaching. Doctrine dictates behavior. My way of life, he talks about. Verse 10, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life. He speaks about his persecution and suffering in many different places and how the Lord has rescued him from all of them. Paul was a man of doctrine, and his knowledge of God's Word must have been a great source of encouragement for him during the battles. That is always a struggle for the church to hang in and to study deeply the doctrines of Scripture, because there is a misunderstanding that that doctrines aren't necessarily needed for success in life. But that's couldn't be anything further from the truth. Paul tells Timothy in verse 10, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith. He connects them very clearly there. He tells Timothy that for everyone who wants to live a life of purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, or a godly life, there will be persecution. And then, as we talked about earlier in verse 12, Timothy was also told not to expect things to get better. Rather, things would only get worse as evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. As we see in verse 13. Do we rely upon Scripture to prepare for the battles? Knowing the Word of God is not the same as having confidence in it. We show that we rely on God's Word by doing what it says. James 1, 19 through 25 says this, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth, and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not know what it says, but does not do what it says, is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Prepare yourselves for the battle that will in no doubt come. Do what the Word says. We don't know what the Word says. We cannot do what the Word says. We need to be driven to the Word of God. The believer must rely upon God's Word to be spiritually effective in terrible times. Finally, relying upon God's Word puts us in the place to do the work. I said when we first were starting out here this morning, regardless of how bad the world gets, the church is still here for God's purposes. And that is to shine the light of the gospel and build up that body. Nothing else can do this. It's only the power of God as He works through us. If we want to be spiritually effective, we cannot neglect His Word. We cannot do the work that He has called us to do without using the Word to be equipped to do it. So finally, number four, God's Word equips us for His work. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful effective. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Timothy is to continue in what he has learned. And what he has learned is nothing else than the Scriptures has been taught to him by Paul and others. He is to take the doctrine that he has been taught and continue to allow it to dictate his behavior. What he had become convinced of, his convictions, is to determine how he lives. From infancy, he had known the Holy Scriptures. He had been taught by Paul and undoubtedly his mother and grandmother. As we saw before, they make us wise for salvation, and because they are God-breathed, they are also useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. If you look at other places in this letter to Timothy, he tells us, Paul knows that he will go to be with the Lord soon. As he passes the torch to Timothy, he cannot express enough the importance of the Scriptures. They are essential for salvation. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word of Christ. They are useful for being spiritually effective in the lives of others. And with evil men going from bad to worse in terrible times, the Scriptures will become even more necessary for the man of God, as we see in 17, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That the man of God and the work to which he has been called. It is the Scriptures alone that can thoroughly equip the man of God for every good work. Effective biblical ministry will not take place without reliance upon the Holy Scriptures. The believer must rely upon God's Word to be spiritually effective in terrible times. We should stop for a moment and ask ourselves, is that something that's important to me? That I am spiritually effective in this world? If it is not, I would suppose that that type of person that is not concerned about being effective in this world probably has little regard for knowing the Scriptures. If we do know the Scriptures and we study it, most likely it's because we want to be effective in the hands of God in the world that He's put us in. So again, you've undoubtedly heard people say that mankind is getting better, maybe smarter, wiser, and maybe even morally better, but I don't know how anybody could make that argument in the age that we live in. Unfortunately, that's not only heard from the unbelieving crowd, and there are some who hold the doctrine that mankind will get better before the Lord returns. They hold to that teaching. That is certainly an error. It's not from the Scripture. Much of what Paul describes as characteristic of the last days can be seen today, which should make us understand even more the urgency of relying upon Scripture more than ever. Our race is going from bad to worse, just as God said it would. We can, however, in these terrible times, be spiritually effective. How can we do that? Well, God teaches us to be separate from the world. We can have a testimony that God makes a difference in people's lives. But we need to know God's Word and be in God's Word to live that type of lifestyle. God's Word makes us wise. That's where we get wisdom. To indulge ourselves in the world's offerings on a regular basis will eventually start to take on characteristics of the world. We'll eventually start to believe what the world teaches. And we will have worldly wisdom. And we will try to, perhaps, if we don't abandon the truth altogether, we will try to weave the world's wisdom in with Scripture. And unfortunately, that happens too often in the church. If we do that, this world that we're trying to impact will most certainly say, well, you're not much different than me. We believe a lot of the same things. Why should there be any urgency for change in my life? To be spiritually effective in this world, we need to understand that there will be battles. And if there are not battles, we would have to wonder, do we have any regard for God's word? Verse 12 again, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Are we prepared for a spiritual battle? Do the spiritual battles not matter to us because we can easily avoid them? We'll just take a hard right and we can avoid this battle. Take a hard left, we can avoid this battle. Just keep our mouths closed and we can avoid all those difficulties. If we have no regard for God's word, we're probably doing that. We have little interest in being effective in this sinful world, we're probably doing that. And we can also be effective because God equips us for the work with God's Word equips us for His work. And again, verse 18, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I wonder if we are, on a more regular basis, being driven to God's Word because of the age that we live in. Again, regularly, weekly, if not more. There is another group of people that say, this is my right to do A, B, and C, and A, B, and C almost always is a simple lifestyle or a simple practice. And that's usually followed with, if you disagree with me, or if you say that I'm wrong, you are a bigot or what have you. This is the world that we live in, and as Scripture says, it will only get worse. Does this drive you to God's Word? I hope it does drive us to His Word so that we can be spiritually effective in these terrible times. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word, and we do not appreciate it enough, I'm sure. Help us to have this wisdom that Your Word speaks us so that we will be in it more often, that we can be effective teachers, and when necessary, bold rebukers with a loving heart, but at the same time rebuking when we see sin and confronting, especially when it is in the family of God. We know that this type of lifestyle is not accepted in this world, and sometimes not even in the body of Christ. And we know, as Paul teaches, that we will face persecutions, we will face these battles if we live in this way. Help us to desire most of all Your will and be willing to live this way and face these battles and face these persecutions. Help us to be godly. We ask this in Christ's name.